Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we got a busy 9 o'clock hour. Next hour is going to be very busy. We've got the new director of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, Christy Clark, is going to join us for the first couple of segments of the show. And then we're going to chat with our friends from the Stillwater Mine. There was a great story in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle just a few days ago, kind of talking about legislation that Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke is looking at already to hopefully get the mine back up and running. We're going to talk with the folks from the Stillwater Mine in the 9 o'clock hour. And then another great guest to join us to talk about these woke teachers unions. He went undercover at one of their latest conferences, and he's going to tell us what he saw and what he heard. A great young man out of Missoula who's going to join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour. So, but it is Friday, and man, I definitely want to get your phone calls. We got to do at least a little bit of an open lines Friday, don't we? In honor of the late, great Rush Limbaugh, got to get some open lines Friday. And thankfully, you've got this extra hour of Montana Talks here with this 8 o'clock hour. So in a few minutes, we'll have the phone lines open. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. The first thing I want to get to here this morning, I want to talk about something going on at the Montana legislature. I saw a great Facebook post from Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. And, you know, I thought about, hey, I should see if Sheriff Slaughter wants to join us on the show to talk about this. But then I'm like, well, wait a minute. We can grab the audio of his testimony at the Montana legislature and play that so our listeners can hear firsthand what he had to say. So earlier this week, he testified in front of the House Local Government Committee as a proponent for House Bill 323, a bill that would allow for the compensation of reserve deputies. Sheriff Slaughter says, we would use this change in statute to hire more school safety reserve deputies, if approved by the county commissioners, of course. He says this law change would allow for us to protect even more schools in Cascade County and across the state. He added this. He says, ever since we started to build a school safety program, we have been met with resistance at every step. There is always a government representative who would tell us we can't do something. Sheriff Slaughter says, we need to change the narrative. It's our duty to protect our children. Anyway, he's talking about House Bill 323. Again, that is a bill that would allow for compensation of reserve deputies. I just assumed that if a local government wanted to pay reserve deputies, they could do that. But apparently they can't even make that decision because of current state law. So this is a bill by Representative Steve Fitzpatrick out of Great Falls. Anyway, coming up right after this, I'm going to play the full testimony from Sheriff Slaughter on House Bill 323. And then after the 8:20 break, we'll start getting into your phone calls, 406-294-0970. You can call now if you want to get in the queue.
From the Montana Capitol, I'm Clayton Murphy. As the 69th Montana legislature opened Monday, both Republicans and Democrats said they are setting their aim on addressing affordability. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Pat Flowers of Belgrade says his party will focus on changing property tax rates, credits, and exemptions.
Every day that we fail to deliver for Montanans on this very clear need, the problem grows. It had years to fester under Republican leadership, and it's time we address it now.
But Republican Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery of Billings said Montanans just need to look at their checkbooks to see the positive momentum Republicans have started.
And I invite our colleagues across the aisle to join Republicans in passing that legislation that Montanans certainly want to see.
This session, Republicans have a 32-18 majority in the Senate.
This legislative update is brought to you by the University of Montana School of Journalism, the Montana Broadcasters and Newspapers Associations, and the Greater Montana Foundation.
Securing America.
Most of us don't think about rocks and minerals when it comes to national security, but they do help build everything from bullets to lithium batteries. The good news is the U.S. has plenty of minerals available. The bad news is the country doesn't mine them anymore. We import, which is an issue a House Natural Resources Subcommittee looked at during a hearing Thursday. Arkansas Republican Bruce Westerman.
Because many of the nations upon which we rely, like China, are not allies, our mineral dependency presents a serious national security threat.
Witness McKinsey Lyon used the metal antimony, which is used in night vision goggles and nuclear weapons production, as an example.
In 2021, China was able to cut off America's sole supply of military spec antimony trisulfide for the Department of Defense.
Witnesses testified that without increased mining, defense readiness may suffer long-term damage. Kevin Ritzko, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here you go. We'll get to your phone calls in just a few minutes, but this is Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter testifying at the Montana Legislature in support of House Bill 323.
First of all, I want to thank Representative Steve Fitzpatrick for carrying this bill. I'm very, very passionate about this bill because I'm super passionate about our children. We in Cascade County have taken school safety extremely seriously. I feel, and at this point in our country right now, it isn't just a local public safety issue, it is a national security issue. We have seen what terrorists intend to do to our country. We have seen with the massive influx of unknown people that have come into our country in the past few years that they have nefarious plans, and some of those have been carried out. There is no secret that the terrorists' ultimate plan is to attack our schools and attack our children. This would immediately not only be horribly terrorizing and terrifying, it would immediately shut down our economy completely. People would stop going to work. People would take their children home. Businesses wouldn't run. Government wouldn't run. It would completely destroy our infrastructure as a country. We have to start protecting children like we protect our money. And if we don't start taking it serious and we don't start doing this, we're going to have serious issues. However, as you are well in this committee, county commissioners have a very limited budget and a very, very limited growth. I am all for limited government. I have zero problem with that. However, we have to be responsible as the leaders in our community. We have to get creative and we have to find creative solutions to protect our kids. I want to share with the committee everything that we have done. Well, never mind. I won't do that. We'd be here till 10 o'clock tonight. I want to share with our committee some of the things that I have done. We have brought on three deputies. We have three SROs. It's still not enough. I've had to steal from investigations. I've had to steal from patrol. I've had to do everything that I can to make sure that the school is a priority. I maxed out. A fully qualified, fully sworn deputy sheriff is very, very expensive. It's close to $200,000 startup cost in my county, okay? And it's well over $100,000 a year with salary, benefits, equipment, and training. So we got to get creative with this. So some of the things we've looked at, we tried really hard to do volunteer reserve work in the schools. It has not worked. Volunteerism is dead. I'm sorry to say that, but it is a reality. We used to have a reserve in Cascade County, a reserve program well into the 30s and 40s of people. We got two today, okay? So that is a huge concern. So we did more than that. We have armed staff in our schools that our county trains, equips, issues equipment, mandatory training. They have a higher standard than our deputy sheriffs, and they maintain it. And it's successful. There's a hole, though. And this is where I got passionate about this bill, and I decided this is what we need to bring forward. The insurance companies won't allow for the psychological testing of the armed staff because it crosses over in two different professions. We want public trust. I want the best people in the world protecting our kids. I want people that you all trust and you all want there. I know that we have a huge cadre in my community of retired veterans, retired law enforcement officers that would take this call, meet all the qualifications, go through all the training, but we have to compensate them. this is a Monday through Friday job. This isn't a job where you can say, hey, I'm going to come volunteer. Well, when do you work? There's a lot of really good people in my community, and I know across Montana. I think Montana has one of the highest rates of retired law enforcement officers and veterans of any place in the country. Well, let's tap into that resource. Let's use that resource, but we got to compensate them. I've heard some issue about the term salary. I've talked to the sponsor about changing it to compensation so it better fits what we could do to make sure we don't have any other issues as far as that goes. But I just want to tell you, that's what we're going to use it for in my county. We're going to use it to protect our most valuable infrastructure, our kids. And it's a bigger problem than people think, because a lot of times when they look at the sheriff's office, they think of county schools. Well, everybody in the city of Great Falls pays taxes too, and I'm also required to protect their children, and that's a priority for me too. So we're talking in Cascade County, 35 schools. So we have to get creative. Government budgets are tight. We have to come up with creative, innovative solutions to make this problem work. Because trust me, I am confident in this. The second we secure our schools, we won't have this won't be an issue anymore. They'll be hard targets. And I'm just really proud of the sponsor, and thank you for bringing forward, and I'll be available for any questions. Thank you.
All right, there you go. That was Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter testifying in front of the House Local Government Committee earlier this week as a proponent for House Bill 323. And then there were others who testified, others from law enforcement who testified in support of that as well. Full video is on the Cascade County Sheriff/Coroner's Facebook page. And I appreciate the sheriff sharing that, because it's been remarkable to hear him talk about the school safety plans that he's been implementing it. And I would say this, too. Once again, you know, yesterday we heard from Montana Senator Tim Sheehy and how they had to basically almost pull an all-nighter the other night, because the Democrats are doing everything they can to delay the confirmation process for President Trump's nominees. They did it again last night. And this is one more reason why we really need Kash Patel confirmed as FBI director. Earlier this week, did you hear when we talked about how 40% of the FBI agents were focused on January 6th cases during the previous administration? 40%, not on sex crimes against children, not on drug cartels targeting our reservations, not on the active shooters that always somehow end up on the FBI's radar and yet still get away with mass shootings. No, they weren't focused on that. They were focused on January 6th. One more reason why we need Kash Patel confirmed immediately.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montanans have a stake in the future of Medicare, perhaps more than most states. Almost 250,000 of us receive benefits from the program, a higher fraction of the population than all but four other states. For many hospitals and healthcare providers, 50% or more of revenues come from Medicare reimbursements. The fact that no elected officials want to talk about the giant program's fiscal imbalances don't make them go away. The fact that Medicare spending is growing faster than the economy, almost twice as fast last year, means that we can't grow our way out of it. Action is needed, but what? The familiar action is cost-cutting directed from above. It makes for great press conferences and impressive legislation, but it's proved utterly ineffective in the past. Remember electronic medical records that were supposed to save money? The road not taken, as Robert Frost would say, is market-based reform. It's toxic, but maybe we should take a look. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. AM radio isn't going anywhere so long as Senate Commerce Committee Chairman Ted Cruz and Democratic Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey have something to say about it. Cruz and Markey authored legislation to keep AM radio in all vehicles. It's called the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. They argue that AM radio informs listeners and supports live local communications during emergencies, disasters, and bad weather. There have been efforts to strip AM radio from cars for years, long after FM took over, and now long after drivers stream radio, play their own music, or rely on satellites to bypass local stations. Markey argued that AM radio stations were critical in disseminating information during the wildfires which recently devastated Southern California. If enacted, the bill requires the Department of Transportation to mandate all new vehicles have access to AM radio frequencies, and that's at no additional cost to the consumers. It also requires car companies comply with a 4-year window. A similar piece of legislation died in the last Congress. with the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Bye.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, the Flathead is filling up the phone lines here. That's great to see. We do have some phone lines open for you if you want to jump in on the conversation as well here on this Open Lines Friday time that we're kicking into now, 406-294-0970. Let's go first to Travis in Kalispell, listening to KJJR. Travis, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
How you doing?
Great.
First, I have a comparison, and then I have a question, and I'll take the answer off air. A photon of light travels through the vacuum of space at 186,282 miles per second. That's Donald Trump. A slug sliming across the trail in western Washington travels 1 millimeter per second. That was Joe Biden. My question is there still that clause where if you're an American citizen and you marry a non-American citizen, that makes them legal just immediately? I was wondering if that's still relevant or not. And, again, I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, I love that analogy about Trump moving at the speed of light. Jillian Michaels. Do you guys know Jillian Michaels? She's like this fitness guru. You never would have thought of her as being like a conservative Republican, but she was on Jesse Waters last night and was just talking about how, holy cow, the media can't keep up with Donald Trump. She's like, Donald Trump is doing so much. He's been so successful here in these first 2.5 weeks that he's been in office. She's like, I can't even keep up with him. So this is Jillian Michaels talking about President Donald J. Trump, who she's this fitness guru, and she's like, I can't keep up with the guy. This guy, wow, it's crazy. I'll play part of that since Travis brought it up. I've got about a dozen different audio clips here, and oftentimes we never get to all of them, but hey, let me go to that here at some point. To his question, you guys are probably better at immigration law experts than I am. I don't believe it was ever instantaneous. If a U.S. citizen marries a non-U.S. citizen, I don't believe it's ever been instantaneous where the person you marry gets citizenship, right? Now, eventually you can get some sort of an immigration status, and then eventually they can, you know, it can take several years to become an actual citizen, even if you marry an American citizen. That's what also I think has been such a slap in the face to the legal immigrants and to us as Americans with this illegal alien invasion that's occurred in the last 4 years in particular, is because, like, we all know somebody. I have friends that, you know, one guy, he met his wife overseas, and they were planning a wedding. They were planning to get married. Well, then all the COVID stupidity started, and he had to wait like 2 years to even see his wife and to finally get married, because of all the COVID stupidity that our State Department was pushing. And yet, you'd watch the news and see people flooding across our borders the illegal way. And yet, he had to wait 2 years just to see his wife the legal way. And then, I don't know if you guys have heard, Riley Gaines, the incredible college female athlete and swimmer who's been really one of the leaders in this fight to protect women and girls' sports. Her husband's a British guy, really nice guy. We met him in Bozeman when he was speaking at the Montana Family Foundation banquet. Yeah, so they're just a neat couple. And in fact, one of my favorite photographs, because, you know, my wife was there, so she was in the photo. It was me and Jessica, and then we had a couple of young ladies who are college athletes, like Lily Meskers from the University of Montana. She came down. You got Riley Gaines and her husband. And then I think we caught up with Aaron and Eigen Graf. So we had Grizz track stars. We had Bobcat track stars all there to see Riley Gaines, and we got to meet her husband. Her husband, like, has had to jump through all these hoops. They were still trying, the State Department was still trying to force him, he's British, to get the stupid COVID shot before he could, you know, go through the process. Why would we force anybody to take that thing? Especially knowing the risks involved. Here's part of what Jillian Michaels said last night on Jesse Waters' show.
Jesse, I'm seeing that squared. When Steve Bannon said that the media is too lazy and dumb to keep up with him, I was ashamed because I can't keep up with him. I was keeping score in the beginning because there was so much winning, you know, and I was doing a little bit of gloating. And now I'm just, every day you wake up to a new headline, like, oh, Panama, Greenland, the USAID. I mean, he's incredible. I don't know. I honestly don't know how he's doing it.
You know, if you're against what he's doing, all you're doing is complaining. But these are good things for the country. So I guess he's right. You're not going to get tired of winning. When you hear...
All right, there you go. That was part of that back and forth. But yeah, a fitness guru can't keep up with Donald J. Trump. All right, let's see. Next up, let's go to Dustin in Kalispell. Dustin, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Aaron? Hey, I'm an avid listener, and I've called in a few different times here. Hey, I just wanted to address an issue here in Kalispell at the OPA office, which is the Office for Public Assistance, the Medicare, SNAP, Medicaid, things like that. And I just wanted to make aware to the Valley here that we need to make a change and that we need to reach out to our senators. We need to reach out to our local officials and make a better system. Man, I'll tell you what, we were there yesterday just trying to renew some Medicaid information. And I'll tell you what, we couldn't even figure out if there was one or two different workers there. But when you look through the window, there's at least 30 desks for the office. And you're wondering, you know, where are our resources going in regards to, you know, proper funding, and are these people actually doing their job, you know, accordingly to appease the people? And so I just wanted to let the Valley know that, and I know that a lot of people have a concern with this, because while we were there, not only us and myself and my wife, but four other people left as the numbers just didn't make sense. Just to even ask a question, I mean, they even had signs on their bathroom that said, like, absolutely will not give out the code. And it just feel like, wow, you know, this is supposed to be a place that I should be able to come to find answers, to get assistance. And instead, you know, I'm being told you can't use the bathroom, you know.
So this is this a federal office then, or like a nonprofit?
Yeah. So it was the Office for it's the Office for Public Assistance. That's all they call it, the OPA. So I was just wanting to also ask you, Aaron, like, what's the best route to go with that to make change, to make direction happen? You know, in your opinion, reaching out to the senators or
yeah, I would totally, I would definitely reach out to them and say, because, so is it an understaffing issue combined with what just felt like a lack of customer service? Was it both of those issues?
Yeah. And when we were there, you know, you notice that there's one person working and you feel so bad for that one person because they're trying to do it. But then you're going, wait a minute, this is a federal funded thing. And you're going, there should be way more workers here than what it is there. And you've got 20 people in the waiting room all crammed together, and everybody's wondering, who's dropped the ball? You know, we're just trying to get a renewal form, and I can't even ask the question unless I have a ticket number.
Yeah. So, now what I'm wondering, if is this federal or is it state? But yeah, either way, I mean, I would reach out to your congressional delegation, especially if it's dealing with you know, federal issues, but maybe it's a state thing as well. I see Montana DPHHS has a listing of different offices for public assistance. So if it's a state-run office, I know the governor is big on, you know, wanting to make state government, you know, truly focused on customer service for you, for the customer, right? That's what his business is. He was so successful in the private sector. You know, he delivered customer service, and so that's what he wants to do as governor, and has been doing that in a lot of different areas. But maybe this is one. Or frankly, if they only have one person in a massive office, well, hey, yeah, everybody's understaffed. We get that, and yeah, you feel bad for the one person that's overstaffed. But why do they need such a big office then? How much money are we spending on rent? If if they don't need that big of an office, why are the taxpayers funding such a big office? Yeah, I'm just throwing things out there. I'm not familiar with the particular location you're talking about. But either way, appreciate you calling in on this Open Lines Friday that we've got here in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Next up, Lee in Kalispell. Lee, what's going on today?
Hi, Aaron. Yes, this deals with a phone call I got yesterday about a, she was talking about a national registry for voters. And she was saying about we're a democracy. And I'm going, we're not a democracy, we're a Republican. Anyway, she was going on about, did you know that not everybody that lives in the United States has a right to vote? So they want to have a national registry of voters. Well, yeah, if you're illegal, you don't have the right to vote. If you're a natural citizen, naturalized citizen, yes. All you have to do is register. And that goes for U.S. citizens, too. So I said, you have to be kidding me, and I hung up on her.
It sounds like you got a phone call from the Democrat Party trying to raise money or something. Yeah, that sounds crazy. Man, that's why
something else I thought of was that. It was tried once before in Germany, where they took a registry of the voters, and then they took the guns away, and then they killed the Jews.
Well, that's why we have to every step of the way resist any effort to instill gun control in this country. All right, Lee, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, that's partly why that phone call you talked about getting. That's partly why I don't answer the phone if I don't know who's calling. Heck, even if I know who's calling, I'm like, man, I've just been talking on the phone all morning on the radio. The last thing I want to do is talk on the phone on a Friday. So I'll get back to you. Like Chandler from Friends to Janice. I'll call you. Maybe. Maybe. If I'm on a long drive, then you're more likely to get the call. Who likes talking on the phone that much? All right, back after this.
The Mark.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got some Open Lines Friday time for you. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970. I also got a couple of great messages that came in on the Montana Talks app. One from Bruce in Ennis, and then another one from Lightbrows in Hardin. I'll share those in just a second. But first, we've got Chad in Great Falls. Chad, sounds like you got a response for us on this OPA office concern that a caller raised at a Kalispell. Yeah, give us your insight.
Yeah, OPA was run by the state of Montana until about 6 months ago, 8 months ago maybe. And then Gene Forte gave it to a company called Maximus, who is not a Montana company. The money is federal money. It's not Montana money. So why he did that, I don't know. But his complaint is all over the state of Montana. I know people that worked at the OPA before it went to Maximus. And, yeah, that's... So calling your legislators probably won't do you any good, but...
So maybe contact the governor's office or get a hold of the DPHHS possibly too, if it sounds like it's under there. Yeah. So you're saying that whoever got the contract to run these offices now, it's not working out too well. Well, that's pretty interesting. All right. Well, I appreciate that, Chad. Yeah, because I'm not too familiar with this particular office, but it does look like there's several of them across the state. And so, yeah, that's if that's indeed what's happening. And then that's good feedback to make sure that the governor's office hears that feedback so they can hopefully make some changes or press the company that's got the contract to say, hey, what are you guys doing here? And get the DPHHS director on it as well. Hey, Chad, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's see. Who do we got next up on the phone lines here? 406-294-0970. Oh, we got Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. You know, the Democrat Party just,
They ceased to amuse me. I had tears coming out of my eyes yesterday when you had that Democrat on there talking about that they're working. You know, you said, well, what are you guys doing? And he goes, oh, we're working on, I was laughing so hard, had tears, so I really didn't hear it all, about the property tax rebate stuff. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, a year ago, they were saying, you know, totally against it. And you said it many times on your radio show that I'm sure they're cashing them checks just like the rest of us.
But yeah, Aaron, and a lot of them did, yeah.
In my eyes, I mean, come on. Now they're getting on board and working with it? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, they got their butts kicked in the November election, so they're thinking, okay, yeah, we probably better work with the Republicans on tax relief. So they're saying they're going to work with the Republicans on property tax relief and on income tax relief. But really, at the end of the day, the Republicans shouldn't need Democrat votes anyway. They've got the majority. All this property tax relief and income tax relief should get across the finish line. But, at least the Democrats, in theory, are saying that they want to support some tax relief. But that Democrat rep, he's one of the smoothest talkers the Democrats have. So they're smart to put him on the air with us.
Yeah, I had to call my buddy. I had tears coming out of my eyes. I was laughing so hard. It was just comical.
Apparently, it was quite comical if you were watching the floor session yesterday in the Montana House of Representatives as well. Tim and Savage was giving us the play-by-play about Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula. All right, let's see. Steve, thanks for the call. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Couple of messages here. Lightbrows in Hardin. We had an earlier caller who also asked a question about immigration law and, well, what if an American citizen marries a non-citizen? Does the spouse immediately become a citizen or something to that effect? Lightbrows in Hardin says this. He served in special forces and served all over the world. He says, getting married to a foreigner, we had two children together that are U.S. citizens. It still took 4 years to jump through all the hoops to get her here. There you go. Case in point. Here's Lightbrows, one of our incredible military veterans. He served in special forces. And look at all the hoops he had to jump through to follow the legal process to get his wife to this country. And yet these criminal, illegal aliens think they are so damn entitled that they can come here whenever they want and do whatever they want and mock you right in front of your faces. And it's a slap in the face to the immigrants who came to this country the legal way, the right way. Lightbrows, thanks for that message. Now this is a great message here from Bruce in Ennis. So earlier this week, I caught up with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio talking about the federal worker buyout offer that's on the table. President Trump, I mean, this is just brilliant, right? He's offering a buyout to federal employees. And this could end up saving our country billions of dollars. We're $36 trillion in debt. I've said it before. We've talked about all this stupid stuff that the USAID is spending money on. And the Democrats are throwing temper tantrums. Oh, how dare you cut the USAID funding? I mean, you know, sex changes in Guatemala and all sorts of other, you know, Adam Bat Schiff crazy stuff, right? And I've said it before, like, we don't have the money. We're $36 trillion in debt. Frankly, there's some good stuff that's going to have to be cut out of the budget, too. The bad stuff, that's the easiest thing to cut out of the budget, and yet the Democrats are throwing a temper tantrum over that. It's worth $36 trillion in debt. Anyway, earlier this week, I think Jeff Manasso had reported that 20,000 federal employees were looking at taking the buyout offer. Well, then last night or yesterday afternoon on Fox News, Peter Ducey said that 40,000 federal workers had agreed to the buyout. Well, now Bruce in Ennis tells us that Fox News is reporting that 65,000 are taking the buyout, which is why. So the deadline was this week for the buyout offer. Well, then a liberal judge comes in and says, no, you have to, whatever, right? So what the judge effectively did was extend the deadline. And so the Trump team's like, oh, well, thanks for extending our deadline, because now even more federal employees have time to accept the buyout offer. That's part of what Ducey said yesterday.
Yes, and White House officials are telling us that they are happy a federal judge kicked the deadline another 4 days. They are just about more than halfway to their goal of 100,000 workers. We just heard about 60,000 have decided to take the buyout. But there are some Democratic concerns about this plan not being fully funded yet.
We expect it to increase. It's going to save the American people tens of millions of dollars. And we encourage federal workers in this city to accept the very generous offer. If they don't want to show up to the office, if they want to rip the American people off, then they're welcome to take this buyout.
All right, there you go. Yeah, great report by Peter Ducey, the White House correspondent for Fox News. Next up on the phone lines here, we've got Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. I got a little kick out of driving into Livingston yesterday, and there's four of the gals standing on the corner with their signs out, but the way they're talking about Gitmo, like they're sending the little kids to it or something, instead of these murderers and rapists and everything. I don't know where the information these liberals are getting, but they're not, the nice people aren't going to Gitmo. So it's real interesting how they're going off their rockers and making everything sound like they're shipping the little kids and mothers, pregnant mothers and stuff, wherever. But I don't know where these guys are at.
Yeah, that's a
great point, because every single one of these illegal...
That's a great point, because every single one of these criminal illegal aliens are criminals. They're breaking the law. But that being said, look, we're going to treat, different... everybody's going to be treated, humanely, et cetera. But no, you're exactly right. They're going to ship the hardened criminal illegal aliens, the worst of the worst, to Gitmo, which is great. And then the other criminal illegal aliens, as they get to them, they'll be deported. But yeah, but the Democrats in their constant flacking for the hardcore criminal illegal aliens are lying and making you think that everybody and their abuela is going to Gitmo. I mean, what a bunch of clowns. But then again, hey, the more they keep putting that message out there, the more the message should be getting out to all of the criminal illegal aliens. Get out while you can, right? Hold that thought, Willie. I got to take a quick break, but stand by if you got more to share.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Biden administration allowed all these unvetted Biden-Harris illegals into the country. Didn't do a thing, including terrorists, murderers, rapists, cartel members, gang members. Unbelievable. She also, Pam Bondi did, lifted the death penalty ban, and she cracked down on sanctuary cities, ordering the DOJ to pause all of their federal funding. Now, why would you pause the federal funding of sanctuary cities and states? Because they're aiding and abetting in lawbreaking. Now we're finding out from Tom Homan, I couldn't believe it when, I heard him say this, that members of the Tren de Aragua gang were tipped off that there was going to be an ICE raid. Well, I want to get to the bottom of who tipped them off.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard. My friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices, and with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or a free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, they use the same 5G network. So get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword Pure Talk and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250, keyword Pure Talk from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. Before heading south to New Orleans for Super Bowl 59 on Fox, Philadelphia Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni got his game plan against the Chiefs in place.
A big chunk of it is ready to go, so I won't share everything with you guys, but we'll practice, we'll be on the field, we'll be installing things. You got to get a good portion of it done because the schedule's a little different next week.
Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
There's some different things that you got to handle next week, and you know, you might not have the all-day Tuesday meeting or an all-day Monday meeting because of media night that you would normally have as coaches.
Like Eagles coach Nick Sirianni, Chiefs coach Andy Reid knows the routine.
As coaches, we got to dig in and get going. Make sure that we can feed the players a good game plan. I know it's a two-week period before the game, but once you get down to New Orleans, it's a bit chaotic. So you want to make sure you take care of business now.
Chaotic plus Mardi Gras Tuesday. Jared Max, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what a great point by Willie in the Paradise Valley when it comes to the criminal, the hardcore criminal illegal aliens being shipped to Gitmo, to Guantanamo Bay, which is, of course, the same place where we've held the 9/11 terrorists. And that's what these hardcore criminal illegal aliens are. The ones that the drug cartel operatives that are targeting Native American women and everybody else in this state, and the murderers and the rapists, they are terrorists. So Gitmo sounds great. Anyway, Willie, yeah, you had another point to make. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, well, I hope it's true, but I saw that that Schumer got a letter from the government about all those threats he frothing at the mouth on the steps there at the Capitol when he was threatening the Supreme Court justice and stuff like that. And I hope he's held accountable for that, which he probably won't. But the hysterics that he puts on in this last one when he was screaming at the mic on that last little rally they had in that too. But he ought to, the Secret Service should have been on his doorstep the next day on that deal. But probably won't happen, but I hope it's true that he got a letter that they're going to investigate him on that or something. But
yeah, Schumer's just losing it. He does not, he can't even handle himself right now. He does not know. Somebody else made a great point. I think it might have been like Brian Kilmeade or one of these guys on Fox and Friends one morning. But, you know, look at how angry Chuck Schumer is now. You know, and Chuck Schumer's Jewish, and man, he didn't get angry about all the anti-Semitism on all these college campuses. He didn't get, yeah. Oh, but now he's angry because we want to cut funding for sex changes to Guatemala. Why didn't you get that angry over, you know, the anti-Semitism on college campuses? You know what I mean? I thought it was just such a great point. I was like, oh, wow, you're angry about this. Like, crazy. Hey, Willie, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Speaking of our borders and criminal illegal aliens, it was so great. Border Patrol Chief Michael Banks was on Fox with Lawrence Jones and had some great comments. I'll get to that in a second. But on our Montana Talks website, I went to the Facebook page for the Border Patrol Spokane sector. It's the Spokane sector that covers, you know, Whitefish, Columbia Falls, Thompson Falls, Hungry Horse, you name it. And so I did a rundown, a play-by-play of all of the great information that they've been sharing, you know, starting back on January 23rd when they arrested four illegal aliens in Thompson Falls, Montana. January 29th, arrested five illegal aliens in Hungry Horse. January 31st, four illegal aliens arrested near Columbia Falls thanks to a local citizen's report. Anyway, you can see the rundown. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Here's the headline. It looks like the Border Patrol is kicking butt in northwest Montana. So good to see. By the way, people are commenting on that story now saying, okay,
Now do Bozangeles and do Missoula too while you're at it. Get the Border Patrol out to some of the reservations if they can as well, given the, you know, the drug cartel operatives operating out there. They might defer that one to ICE or DEA. But anyway, here's Michael Banks on this point. Look at the butt-kicking that Border Patrol is doing in northwest Montana. God, there must be a new boss back in Washington, D.C.
Talk about these latest numbers that you have and how you guys have been able to get it done, Chief.
So look, U.S. Border Patrol, we know how to get the job done. We know how to secure the border. All we needed was a president that was going to empower us, a strong leader like President Trump, and then a secretary like Secretary Noem that knows exactly what we need to do to secure the border. We're seeing almost a 90% decrease in illegal entries since January the 21st. Not only that, but our criminal prosecutions of those we're apprehending is up almost 52%. You talked about, you know, we let in with the Trinidadagua. Our U.S. Border Patrol BORTAC unit is out there with ICE making those arrests. And so, look, Border Patrol knows how to secure the border. All we needed was an administration that would let us enforce the law. And we're out there, and we are seeing phenomenal gains on the border.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montanans have a stake in the future of Medicare, perhaps more than most states. Almost 250,000 of us receive benefits from the program, a higher fraction of the population than all but four other states. For many hospitals and healthcare providers, 50% or more of revenues come from Medicare reimbursements. The fact that no elected officials want to talk about the giant program's fiscal imbalances don't make them go away. The fact that Medicare spending is growing faster than the economy, almost twice as fast last year, means that we can't grow our way out of it. Action is needed, but what? The familiar action is cost-cutting directed from above. It makes for great press conferences and impressive legislation, but it's proved utterly ineffective in the past. Remember electronic medical records that were supposed to save money? The road not taken, as Robert Frost would say, is market-based reform. It's toxic, but maybe we should take a look. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.